Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back to another episode. Today's episode is going to be about the Great Balancing Act. Which balancing act, you might be asking? We're going to have to juggle work. We're going to have to juggle our family while keeping our sanity. It's going to be talking about the work-life balance. So today we do want to discuss the challenges of balancing a career with family and life, and also provide practical, some actionable strategies that we've kind of done to help us find a little bit better equilibrium. Yes, Jordan, I know that's a big word for me.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're just trying to balance that out. So today, really, before we get into it, I want to talk about why the balance. You know, back in the day, you think about back in the 80s, even in the 90s, 70s, 60s, 50s, did they have near as much work-life balance? Why do we have to have work-life balance? Well, the biggest piece of that right now is just the modern problem, right? So we all have cell phones, we're all mobile, we're all connected to the internet, pretty much all over the world. It's really hard to get away from your job and just shut off the phone, put the phone down, not read that email that you got on a Saturday night that you're wondering what the heck's happening with this project, or man, is that something I need to prepare for Monday? Stuff like that. It's really tough anymore, as connected as we are to the whole world, and once again, to our jobs. So that's why it's harder now than ever to find more family time, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like even you can't just punch out, clock out, and leave work at work like you might have been able to however many years ago. There's still people emailing you 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And yes, I could turn my notifications off, but I also, on the other side, I want to have my notifications on in case there's something like there's a snow day tomorrow or there's something else going on. Like, you want to have access to that. So it's hard trying to find the balance of when do I leave work at work and then also take my family as the priority.
Yeah. And so what we want to first throw out there is our family's philosophy, right? So our foundational belief when we got married and when we've talked about having a family and getting kids, for us, our family is more important than work, period.
Hands down.
And I think one of the reasons that we've decided on that is we work hard for our family. We want to provide for our family. And if you don't have a family, then why are you necessarily working your tail off if there's not somebody that you're going to work for every day besides yourself?
Exactly. And, you know, in the whole scheme of things, raising kids, obviously it's a daily thing. And those years go by so fast. You only have 18 years. Some, give or take, you know, you only have 18 years with each kid, and you have to take advantage of the time that you have with them while you do.
The kids grow so fast. We've had Carly for, it's going to be 20 months. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it's going to be 20 months. It doesn't feel like 20 months. It probably feels about like a year.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Honestly, it probably feels like we've had her about a year. Those kids, they grow up so fast, and especially the younger they are, the faster they change. They start blabbing. They start rolling over. They start smiling. They start playing by themselves. They change so fast. Carly learns things every week. You can see her change every single week. And we don't want to miss out on that because you get one shot at it and then it's gone. The older that they get, they're going to have their own agendas. They're not always going to have time for mom and dad. And they're going to go to sports and they're going to have friends and they're going to want to hang out with their friends. They're going to take away time from you to go do some things that they want to with other people.
And you want that for them.
100%.
You do. You want that.
But that's where when they're little, you've got to cherish that. And both of us have figured we want that because if it's back to, hey, I still need this job, right? Like if it was getting that bad, we go find another job to make our family better. Beside all the money, beside all of that stuff, we value family time above everything else. And for us, that is the most sacred fundamental piece that I hope you get out of this episode today is that's truly what we believe in.
And I feel like, you know, family was always important before we had kids. But now that we have kids, it's amplified. Like from the moment I went back to work after maternity leave, you just have a different mindset.
That's our philosophy. Hopefully you hear that through here. So we've talked a little on technology and the modern work culture, right? Seems like we go 110 mile an hour anytime we're at work. It's really tough to try to balance that. So that's where, you know, probably first and foremost is, you know, you're going to get that feeling of always being on, right? Checking emails after hours, taking phone calls during dinner.
You can't see it, but he has his hand raised as high as he can because he knows he's guilty of it.
Yeah. Now, I will say there is times where I'm like, I need to take that. And then there's times where I'm like, no, I don't. I want to eat a warm meal and I want to hear about Carly blabbing and not eating and Jordan telling me about her work day. And so there is a fine balance and there's not right or wrong ways to do this either. Everybody's going to have their own opinion. Make it what you want. This is just our story, right? So with the fact of always being on, you're always getting pressure to be that perfect employee, right? If you're a good employee, you want to do better. You may want to move up in the ranks. You maybe want to become a manager. You may want to get higher up in your job. You know, you've got a career path that you're on, right? So you're trying to balance being the perfect employee while trying to be the perfect parent at the same time. And that is just, that's a constant struggle a lot. And I know Jordan has this and I do. Another piece of this is acknowledging that guilt that comes from feeling like you're not giving 100% to either your job or your family. It just seems like it's one way or the other, and you're either missing a deadline or you're getting your butt chewed by your boss because you're not performing well there, or at night you're laying in bed and you're staring up at the ceiling like, man, I didn't get to spend near as much time with Carly today. Why not? She's sleeping now. Man, I missed it. If I weren't to wake up tomorrow, I'd regret that. And so it can feel like an overwhelming piece of there's not two of you.
Yeah. And like, as a teacher, I have little minds at stake at work. So I want to be there. I want to be the best that I can be to raise those minds up to be successful members of society. So there's that pressure. And then there's the pressure of, I couldn't make a home-cooked meal tonight. I'm such a crappy mom. Like there's the balance is so hard. You can never win.
So now that we've talked about what it is that we're trying to do, right? So now we want to help come over the stress and the overcommitment of the job or the parenting, you know, how to recognize different signs of getting burnout or just a habit of taking on too much. Sometimes it's something as simple as that in a job. And I would just say, you know, you got to identify what are those red flags for that stress. And they can look pretty much the same as like our last episode that we talked about. Some of those identifiers can be the same. You know, you can get irritable. You can lose sleep. You can just feel overwhelmed. I know that's probably one of Jordan's key ones that she has.
very overwhelmed, very overstimulated, because you're feeling like you can't do it all and you're not good at any of it.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, some of the times where this guilt comes into of why do we overcommit? You know, a boss comes in, asks you to do a project. You're like, man, I want to show him that I can do this. I want to take this project on. But at the same time, oh, it needs to be done tomorrow. So you're going to have to do it tonight. Well, now you're sacrificing that from your family. And sometimes saying no can help you. But then on the other side, it's going to hurt you sometimes. And I truly do believe that good managers, knowing that you have a young family and stuff like that, they're going to expect different things from you than when you were young like us. And we were just a married couple. I mean, we would work late.
Or even if your kids are grown and you're still working, there's a different level of commitment than the stage that we're at right now.
Yes. I mean, there's times where I used to get home at 10 o'clock plus. I mean, once in a while, I still do. It's usually planned and we know that, but there would be times where something would pop up and it would be late. Or I know, Jordan, your contract time, you'd stay an hour or two past that contract time easily just to get ready for the next day.
Going back to your project piece, like this year I'm on 3 different leadership type teams in my district, and I'm honored to be on them. I feel honored that they had chose me, but then yeah, that comes with more responsibility. And now I have meetings at least twice a month for this, or I'm leaving work a little bit later. And so it's like trying to balance. I want to be honored to be a part of this team, that I'm respected at that level, but also that's taking a little bit of time away from my family. My principal is great of knowing that I have a toddler and my daycare closes at 4:30. So I'm sorry, I can't stay past that because I have to go pick up my child, and very understanding of that.
Yeah. So really what it boils down to, you know, it has impact on, you know, your partners. So Jordan and I, each other's has impact on that. Definitely has impact on the children. Carly is impacted. And really what a lot of that boils down to is when you're just being physically present, but mentally checked out. And I think we're both guilty of that. We are. Every parent is. And that's fine. Like, that is fine. What we're trying to tell you is we don't always want that. There's going to be times of that, but there's going to be times that we talk a little later. We want a little more quality time with them.
And then you definitely get that guilt of feeling like I'm here, but I'm not present. Whatever is in my mind, I need to push it aside for this chunk that my child's awake. And we'll expand on that more here in a bit.
Now we're going to talk about just some practical strategies that we take kind of on a daily basis to help create more quality family time in our house, at least. Once again, one of our fundamental pieces is we like building a village, right? We've talked about this on different episodes. Not only our little village of 3 that we have in our own house under one roof, but, you know, we expand that to our family. And I think it's, once again, important involving your family, whether those are grandparents, whether those are friends, anybody that can help you out. Using those people and leaning on those and connecting those people, definitely that is one of our fundamental pieces.
We both work 5 days a week. So during the working week, our time with Carly is limited. We have a little bit of chunk of time in the morning before we go to work and daycare, and then we have a bigger chunk in the evening. So we get less time on the work days than we do on the weekends. So we're trying to figure out ways to streamline that evening routine, try to make it as efficient as possible so we can focus on spending time with Carly and less of the other boring stuff that has to get done. So our biggest issue each night is supper. What are we having for supper? Do we have everything for it? Making it, cleaning it up, eating it. So things that I have done that have helped tremendously during the work week is having meal plans. Each weekend I come up with at least 4 meal ideas that we're going to have that week. Then I think about all the ingredients I need. I add it to my Walmart order, whatever I need for that week. it just makes it so much easier having meals planned. When you get off of work and you're driving home, you're like, what are we having for supper tonight? Do I have it? Like, for example, last week, we didn't have a meal plan. I forgot, messed up. It was incredibly stressful. Supper was later. We spent so much more time doing that. So having a weekly meal plan has made life a lot easier. I also meal prep a little bit on the weekends. I will brown up some hamburger and then I can throw it in the freezer. That makes spaghetti so much easier. I'll brown up the hamburger and turn it into taco meat. Taco night is so much faster. Sloppy Joe's, all those other things that make the meals easier during the week, I'm all about it. That just helps our evenings go better. I am a sucker for a Walmart pickup order. I used to not be that way, but once I had a kid, it makes life so much easier. Yes, we still take Carly into the grocery store. Yes, she still gets that experience, but the weekly groceries that we need, I put in the order usually on the weekend, pick it up Monday after work, and we're set for the week. It just, every little thing that I can do to set our family up for success to make that little bit of time we have in the evening even better, I'm going to do it.
Supper is definitely the number one time sucker in the evenings for us. It just is. And, you know, the more I think of it, you know, if you're more like a HelloFresh person or an EveryPlate, we've tried both of those. We haven't tried them with Carly, but if you can, you know, afford those, they are a little higher price, but you can pick your meals. They deliver it to you. You have all of the stuff there. Maybe that's an option for you too. But yes, that was the biggest time sucker. And when we get home, we want to spend more time with her and with each other rather than doing the busy tasks.
Exactly. So when Carly and I get home, we get home before you do typically. We have a little bit of time to play. And then I'm usually starting supper. Sometimes it's very hard when you're not home and you're trying to do it all and your toddler's getting hungry, but we make it work and just getting it. The sooner we can get supper over, it seems like the easier, the lighter the night is.
Yeah, there's definitely a time crunch. Carly is a time clock going off, or an alarm clock, should I say, because once it starts hitting 6, she starts getting hangry. And at that point, you better start figuring out something really fast, or at least have a plan, because yes, it becomes even more stressful.
I am a sucker for tossing her a couple little snacks just to get her by.
So along with streamlining, you know, our evening routine was our biggest piece. So identify some stuff that you can maybe streamline and help yourself gain a little more family time. But back onto the work side, just the power of setting boundaries. And when I mean setting boundaries, I'm meaning at work, right? So just trying to make your time at the office be specifically time to work on those projects or to work on your work rather than it dribbling into your time at home, right? So definitely what I would say I do some of the time is you have some must get done work tasks. And that's what I try to get done that day. Whether there's a deadline, whether there's just something I've been putting off, I need to get it done. There is just two or three things that I try to get done at work every day with my job. Everybody's job is a little bit different, okay? But I identify what I must try to get done. And then maybe there's some extra that'd be like, man, like I could do that. Maybe that'd make me look good if I could get these things done as well. If you don't have time for them, don't sit there and let that take into the evening of trying to get those tasks done all the time. There's a time and a place for them, but sometimes those variable tasks, you let go. You're going to have to go to work the next day anyway, and you can accomplish those there. Maybe those are the next day's goals.
Well, that work will be right where you left it the next day. And for me at my job, I have to teach the majority of the day. So in my little planning window that I have, my plan time that I have, I'm making a better effort this year at utilizing that time. You know, I might go and check on a coworker. I might go do this that I want to do and put off the things that I need to do. my mindset is changing and I am getting those things done that I have to get done because I don't want to do them at home. And if they need to be done by tomorrow, I'm utilizing that time to do it.
Yeah, definitely the, you know, maximizing your planning time at work effectively, it will help you prevent from that spilling over in your home life. Whether you've got a project that's 3 months down the road, start trickling that in a little bit. You know probably how much time that's going to take. And me, I'm a procrastinator. I am, hands down, always have been, always want to do stuff at the latest, right? I want to go have fun right now and get some other stuff done. And then when that deadline starts coming up, okay, now I'm going to start working on it. Sometimes that can get you in a pickle to where you're working on it really late at night, or it's starting to cause some dribbling effect into the family time. And that's what you try to not do. And so for me, it's been a big change trying to plan some of those things out to help with that balance a little bit. Definitely one other thing that I know Jordan has done probably better than me. I've done it as well, but my job's changed quite a bit even since we've had Carly. But just commit to having a firm time on leaving work. You know, Jordan has contract hours. I don't necessarily have as hard as of a contract hour. I have a lot of driving time in between all my locations, so it's a little different for me, but there is a time where I would like to be home majority of the time. It's a set time frame from, let's just say, for example, it's 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I want to be home in that time frame somewhere. Sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 7:30, sometimes it's a little earlier. You can use, luckily with my job, I can kind of balance that out how I see fit. You still want to put in the hours to get your work done, but at the same time, when that cutoff's there, and for us, it's usually daycare. It's when daycare is closing. You got to go pick your kid up. Now, we could have the grandparents or the aunts come pick it up. We have some family members that live in the town, so they could do that if you get in a pinch, but don't make that a habit. You're going to have to go get your kid as well from the daycare, and that's kind of where our cutoff time is starting to look.
Exactly. My contract time is 3:40. Now, do I leave at 3:40 every single day? No, but by 4. Like 4 is my time that I am leaving by. Daycare closes at 4:30. So if I have a meeting or something, I can push it back. But I'm trying to be in a routine of getting my work done, leaving, going home, because we have the night routine that we have to start on as soon as we get home. So just being conscious of that. And I know this is off the topic, but I have a trip coming up in a couple months and I will be out of state. Corey, on the other hand, is going to have to pick up Carly at 4:30 for those couple of days. So you will have to adjust your hours to get it done, and you will, and it'll be fine.
I will.
You will. I'm sure you'll be getting a call from our daycare lady if you're not there. So
one thing that can help us sometimes. So this is something that Jordan and I both kind of do to help you committing to leaving work on those times. Is like, man, like there's just 15 minutes of something that I needed to get done that I didn't get done. There's times where we'll go through the evening. We'll sit there. We'll do things with Carly. We'll get her to bed. When she's sleeping, we can bring some of that work out if we have to. I don't recommend that.
No.
But you can use that as a little bit of a crutch if you want to, because generally, heck, by then it could be close to 10 o'clock and I'm starting to crash. Now, maybe there's some late night owls. Maybe that's how it'll work for you. Maybe, you know, because Carly's in bed, family time's kind of, it's just back to Jordan and I, and we're both comfortable with kind of, sometimes we like doing whatever we're doing. We like splitting apart and decompressing that way from the day. And other times we might watch a show on TV together or scroll Facebook together, stuff like that.
Have a bowl of popcorn together, whatever.
Yeah, and so for that, our time with Carly is kind of, I count it as kind of our time together as well. But if you have to, sometimes you can do some of that work after the kid's at bed and you can get some stuff finished up, or maybe you want to get prepared for the next day.
Or if you're an early bird, you might get up a little bit earlier to do that. Me, on the other end, I will not. I am a get up at the time that I have to get the things I need to get done to get to work. But I am very guilty of finishing things after Carly goes to bed. And I don't like to do it all the time. Like if it's one night every once in a while, okay. But I've had situations where I've had to do things to meet a time limit or a time frame of something. And I had to do all my stuff with work all day, have your evening routine with Carly, put her to bed. And then that little bit of time frame that's your time to yourself or with your partner every single night has been stuff that I had to get done for work. And that wears on you because I've experienced it. If you have to do it, don't make it a daily habit because then you don't have any time for yourself. And then there's other effects from that.
The next thing we want to talk about is when we talk about family time, we really want to try to prioritize the quality connection, right? So to make the most out of family time that we have sacrificed maybe some work stuff to do for the family, that is a big sacrifice. You want to make the most out of it. Our motto is quality over quantity. I've seen this on Facebook. I think we do a pretty good job of it. We never just sit down and thought about, you know, the 20 minutes, but what we try to do is emphasize an amount of time. What they'll generally tell you is just emphasize 20 minutes to where you're not in your phone, you're not watching TV, you're focused on you and the kid. And that way there is no distracted time there. And just give them 20 minutes. We don't really have this really on our agenda. I'm just throwing this in there. But what I generally like to do is I'll ask Carly, what do you want to do? Because if I'm suggesting, hey, Carly, let's go swing, or hey, let's go draw with some chalk, I'm still technically telling her what to do. And as much as she gets told what to do, seems like throughout the day, whether she listens or not, that's a different story. But she gets told enough in the day, it's like, hey, I want to do what you want to do. What do you want to do? And sometimes it is something as simple as her new thing now is house. She has a little house in the corner where all of her toys are. It's got a door. And sometimes she just wants you to sit in there. And she just, you know, you're not maybe 100% have to be present. But what I try to is a portion of that time to actually play with her, to do what she wants to do, to get out the toys, to play with what toys she wants to. And I think as she grows older, that time will be, seems like a little bit better well spent, because maybe it's a board game she wants to play. Maybe she wants to go play catch. Maybe she wants to do something. You know, maybe it's Barbies. Maybe it's a dollhouse. Right now, there's not many two-player toys that she has, so you just kind of are present. But I think the main focus is just focusing on her for that short amount of time. That's where you really get the biggest bang for your buck of what we think.
Exactly. And don't get us wrong. It's not like we spend 20 minutes with our child and then we're watching TV the rest of the night. Absolutely not. But that focused, dedicated, purposeful time, because I am very guilty of being around and playing with her, but not solely focused on that. It is really hard when you know you have to do something, or else it's like, oh my gosh, the kitchen is so dirty. I need to go clean it. But she wants me to play this with her right now. For me, it's very hard to put that aside, but I'm working on it. And that's something that I'm trying to get better at every day, is pushing whatever else that can wait aside and spending that time with my daughter.
And another thing that's helped us, I think, with a lot of quality is some sort of like connection rituals, but I would more like a connection schedule is what I would probably say. So they're just some small, consistent habits that you do. Maybe it's like a bedtime routine. Maybe it's something you always do when you get home from work and bring her home. Just a couple examples that we have is there's a reoccurring event that we do, and it's grandparents. We generally will have Carly see the grandparents once a week, and it's not every single week. Sometimes we miss, you know, you have schedules, and you know, maybe Jordan's parents go out to Denver to see her brother, or maybe my parents are harvesting and can't get there. Maybe it's not even on the same day. Sometimes it's a Friday, sometimes it's a Saturday, sometimes it's a Sunday. But generally on a weekend, We want the grandparents to see her. And it's kind of almost like a family tradition. Now, with some of those things can come some different stress, of course, but it's not bad, right? There may be some miscommunication where the grandparents are busy and didn't communicate to us, and we assume that maybe they were coming or vice versa, right? Those things are going to happen. And it may lead to some added stress of a little bit of frustration, like, gosh darn it, well, if we'd have known that, we could have cooked Carly this supper or whatever. But honestly, in the long scheme of things, it doesn't matter, because the time that we see that with her and her grandparents is far more the bigger prize than, oh my gosh, what are we going to have for supper now?
Yeah, exactly. And she's getting to the age now that she's understanding, hey, do you want to go see grandma and papa? Or hey, grandma and grandpa are coming. Do you want to go see your aunt or your cousins? Yeah, yeah. And she gets so excited to see them and to be there and to just be in a different environment. I think that's part of it too. And she's very familiar with all of her close family, but to see them and to interact with them, because that's not her daily, like, you know, her work week schedule. So she's excited about it too. And it's fun to get her out and to see different things with them.
Yeah. And we talked about it earlier. She changes so fast. Every time they come over once a week, they're like, what's new now? Or, well, I haven't heard her say that. Or, man, she can do that now. She can crawl down from the couch. She can do those things. Holy smokes, she's growing fast. And that's some of that stuff where we want them brought in on those pieces that we see. We want them to be a part of it as well. But no, I think that sort of schedule of trying to do some stuff with them has really helped us out. And just to even think of a longer schedule, far-fetched, you know, we go see my friend generally once a year. Generally, you know, now you have kids, stuff like that. There's times you don't want to bother them, but generally once a year, we want to go see them. We want to hang out with them a weekend, and the kids get to play together and stuff like that. And it's a good time. Those types of things are pretty good.
And I just think of all the different experiences that Carly gets to enjoy, you know, seeing her make friends with some little girl that she hasn't seen before so fast and playing together and having fun. It's fun to see it in her excitement about going to new places, doing different things, being with other people. She is so social. And I think we say this every episode, but she loves doing new things and being around people. So it's fun to take her to those types of things.
Maybe you're like, man, I don't know how to schedule, you know, one of those things. Well, maybe this will help. I mean, besides that, there's other ways to get out and about and make memories, right? We generally take a vacation every year, right? There's a lot of families that'll take a vacation every year. And maybe that's 2 hours away. Maybe that's 24 hours away. It doesn't matter. As long as you're building memories, that's the whole point of it. But we talked about the routine. Now to take a break from that routine to make some different memories, we take a lot of different small little trips. And what I'm meaning is, it can be something as simple as going to the grocery store. We have what we call a depot. It is a little farmer's market type building that's only about 20 minutes from our house. We take Carly there all the time. We took her there last weekend to pick apples. They have a pumpkin thing going on this weekend. Probably not going to make it to it, but we will go over there and probably get pumpkins at some point. In a couple weeks, we've got scheduled to go to a pumpkin patch, probably the biggest pumpkin patch any of us have ever been to. We're going to go stay with one of Jordan's friends, and we're going to go to a pumpkin patch. There's a lot of different things you can do. We've talked about the zoos that we take Carly on. Just a quick weekend trip, you know, like we talked about visiting my friend. Just a two-day trip of, hey, we're going to head up there, spend the night, spend the day, come back.
Or even just a trip to go shopping, you know, a day trip. We're going to a bigger town with some more shopping. We're going to go out and about for the day. Or my niece is in sports now. We went to one of her volleyball games. Just something different to, we talk about routines, but then, like you said, breaking those routines for everyone's sanity too. You can do a lot of different things. Going to the park one evening. Like, we've done that before. Like, we have a park really close, but then we have a park a little bit farther away, and just getting out after supper, let's go to the park. Let's go on a walk. Doing any of those things to kind of break up your time, make new memories. And I read somewhere that had said, you know, take the trips, go do the outings. You know, your kids, they might not remember it, but you will. And I thought that was really interesting, because is Carly going to remember all the times that we went to the depot or all the times we went to the zoo at this age? Probably not. And that's okay. But I will remember it. And I will look back and look at the memories that we've made and the things that we've done and we've taken her to. And we will remember those memories and we will cherish them, even if she can't.
And there will come a day where you'll be like, Carly, want to go to the depot? No, I'll just stay home. You guys can go. And so that's also coming up. And that's why we're doing what we can while we can do it. Now, one thing we haven't had happen yet, we don't have more than one kid. And there might be times where you might have to single those kids out and spend more one-on-one time. You know, we talked about 20-minute rule. If you really want to take a 20-minute rule per kid, then there's 40 minutes out of your evening. Or maybe you split it. Maybe you do 10 and 10. That is one thing that we haven't tackled yet, but that's also one thing to think about is, you know, maybe one kid wants to play catch and the other one doesn't. Maybe they want to do something different. Well, maybe we have to split those out and, okay, what do you want to do, right? Let's go do it for 10 minutes or whatever. So there is that piece of it too that we haven't had time yet. We don't have any experience with that. Someday, hopefully we will.
We'll let you know how that goes in the future.
Yeah, this episode, I think we'll continue to keep talking about, maybe not a full episode on it, but there'll be bits and pieces, I think, in the future of trying to keep this balance, because it's a balance, right? It's going to sway one way and the other, and it's just the way it is, the way the world works, the way that we are.
But I feel like if you're not cognizant and aware and trying to maintain that balance, it'll eat you up. You know, you have to be actively trying to keep that balance. So like you said, you're going to have busier times. You're going to have things that sway one way or the other, but to overall have that balance and actively try to do it, or else it's not going to be there.
Yes. You're never going to be perfect at it, but you can always try to do better. It's something you will actively keep trying to do, and you will not like it one way or the other, you know, whether that's work or family. You just always try to do better. And that's all you can ask for, is just do the best you can. So anyway, to sum this up, you know, we talked about, we are so plugged in anymore in this modern day that we have to have some time broken free, right? We got to know when we are stressing too much for work, when we're stressing too much for home, how that can impact your partner, how that can impact the kids. We kind of went over some strategies. A lot of ours was towards the evening. That's kind of been our biggest struggle. Find different ways. Find, you know, maybe you only work 4 days a week and you can spend an extra day with your kid, right? Find some struggle spots where it does eat up a lot of your time. And is there some ways you can streamline some of that to spend some more family time with you and your family? Definitely set some of those boundaries at work. Let's plan a little bit better. Maybe I need to plan for an upcoming project. Maybe I make a list of what I absolutely need to get done. The other stuff, it's a variable. If I get to it, sweet. If I don't, not a big deal. That stuff will be there when I get back. And then last but not least is what we've all been fighting for, you know, is good quality time. Good quality family time. Try to be present when you're around the kids. Maybe set your 20-minute rule. To help with that, maybe plan some little getaways or day outings. It doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't have to cost you a whole lot either. You're not going to do it perfect, but just always try to progress to do it the right way. And the only right way is whatever you make up.
Find what works best for you and your family.
So yeah, no, at the end of the day, these are all just tips and tricks. They're just tools to help you achieve one simple goal, just to be present in the moment. And like we said in the beginning, that is our main focus for our family, is family does come first. They grow up so fast. You only get one chance to see it. Please don't miss it, because I bet you'll regret it if you do. With that being said, we're going to wrap this episode up. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to Parenting in Progress. If you like what you heard and you're listening to us on YouTube, please go ahead, like, share, subscribe, drop a comment. If you're listening to us on other platforms, go ahead, give us a follow and a rating. We truly appreciate it. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next one.